Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John Couch. John's engineering and producing, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show as we are off and running on a new work week. It's Monday, May 10th, 2021, now in our 11th year here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. Our Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Check out Moe's. They're conveniently located at Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. Their website looks great, moesgallery.com. They've put a lot of new material up there that is for sale, so they're doing e-commerce. So, and of course, if you need any framing done, that is the place to go. Every Monday, we do present our Monday political face-off. We have Bruce Ash with us, former Arizona Republican National Committeeman, who hosts the program Inside Track on KVOI Saturday afternoon at 1. Bruce, how are you?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you.
Dr. Don Jorgensen is here, former chairman of the Pima County Democratic Party. How are you doing, Don? Good to have you back in studio.
Thank you, Bill. It's nice to be here.
Bruce, compliments to your interview on Inside Track. I wish there had even been more of it. He was on for a half an hour, pretty much half of your program. Marvin Kalb of CBS News, the guy is going to be 91 years old. He sounded as sharp as a tack.
He sounded just like he did.
Yeah.
When he did his stand-ups in front of the camera for CBS and NBC.
Yes, and has written now a book about Russia, his 17th book.
Yeah. Assignment Russia.
Yeah, but the stories he told about how he was discovered by Edward R. Murrow. Kalb had written a piece that appeared in the New York Times Magazine while he was still an undergraduate. Or maybe even a
he was in grad school at Harvard,
and he was in the library at Harvard the next day, and there's a phone call. It's Edward R. Murrow calling for you, and Marvin Kalb says, "Sure, just hang up on the guy. Edward R. Murrow is not going to call me." Well, the next day he tracks him down, and they meet, and the rest is history.
You know, one thing we didn't get to in the interview. Kalb was on CBS News. There was sort of a reporter's roundup show that Murrow did, I think, once a month on CBS TV. And he didn't know it at the time, but he was on the very last show that Edward R. Murrow ever did on television. And Murrow, shortly thereafter, because he was going to USIA, Murrow asked Kalb if he would join him there to be his protege.
Wow.
And he said it was just one of the toughest decisions, but he said that I made the decision I made, and I'm glad I did.
And you think, Don, about how media has just been so diluted down from the... It was basically, there were three choices that Americans had. That's the way it was when I was growing up. You had CBS and NBC, and even when Peter Jennings came along with ABC, initially he was like, nobody watched ABC. It was like
hardly anybody.
Yeah, well, very few did. I mean, he was like the new guy, and ABC was kind of the new thing happening. And then PBS didn't even come along until the 70s and started off mainly as an educational service. Now, look at the choices people have.
Well, it has changed. The funny thing about ABC, what actually put ABC on the map in terms of getting viewers to tune in was Monday Night Football.
Right.
That's right. That's what made them
Howard
Cosell.
Howard Cosell.
In terms of news, what's changed is pre-internet, pre-cable means that we had three channels to choose from, which means we all were getting the same information have different opinions about it, but getting the same set of facts, if you were, at least the same information. Mm-hmm. It wasn't siloed the way it is now. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously the biggest change is, you know, when you're on Facebook and you have news feeds that are designed only to your preferences, you're not getting the whole picture.
Right. And some people only are getting their news that way through social media, Bruce.
So I asked Kalb about the news media today. And, you know, he was on Nixon's enemies list.
Yes, he was.
He didn't know about it about 3 years after he was actually on the list. But he said that he was a patriot. And he still considers himself to be a patriot. And he said, my job was not to give opinions about the news. My job was to report the news. And he said, yes, of course, there are some personal biases and preferences that we have. But he said, you know, it was my job to give the news as straight as I could and let people do with it what they did. And he made a point that I just thought was, and I have no idea if he's Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Vegetarian, no idea at all. But there was, I think, a code of honor that existed in those days. He wasn't one of those guys that had ink on his fingers. You know, he was a scholar.
Yeah.
But all of those guys, and he talked about Eric Severide.
Yeah.
You know, and because I really admired Eric Severide for his editorials, which were clearly noted.
He talked about Severide. Severide walk in the newsroom, and nobody would make a big deal out of it. And Severide, all he really wanted to do was listen to a reporter, and then he would start asking questions.
Isn't that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, that's kind of the way I kind of learned it in school that way, but. We've changed, and everything—not everything, but now advocacy journalism is seems to be the, and is the path.
Well, and I'm glad you used that word. That's word that I was thinking of. Is that was journalism?
Yes.
And I believe it's still taught that way, but it's certainly not practiced that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the week before, I had Michael Gearhart, who wrote a book called Lincoln's Mentors. And we talked about how savage the media was. In that time, it was just newspapers
and
kind of these little circulars that people would hand out. You know, this has been a very tough media, really, since the formation of our country. The things that pass for news in revolutionary times or post-revolutionary times, the arguments between Washington and Jefferson, Adams and Jefferson. Jefferson seemed to be in the middle of almost everything, as well as Hamilton. You know, this is not anything new. There's been a lot of this, and it's sort of who we are as a country. You know, we're here not because we were willing to go along with the crown in England. We wanted to be on our own, you know, and we were kind of scrappy, tough people willing to fight and do all this stuff. And, you know, hey, it's just, it's interesting to, because we don't really study history as much as we should, to understand this isn't new. It's a new version of what's happened all through our nation's history.
But there's so much of the echo chamber today, Don.
Well, that's the difference. It's 24 hours nonstop, always available. And as a student of history, I agree with Bruce. It's fascinating when you go back and folks talk about how tough politics is today and how rough and tumble it is and all. It's nothing like it was in the 1800s. And so, well, it's kind of getting back there when you see threats against our Secretary of State and things like that. But that was routine and, you know, accusations of all kinds.
Look at the coverage of the Lincoln-Douglas debates in my home state of Illinois. Things got pretty rough.
Right. But it didn't have the, you know, that... Those were focused
sure.
in certain areas. It wasn't nonstop, 24 hours a day, posing as legitimate. Those were coming from the different parties. It's so different now. And we're never going to get back to where you just had three or four or five sources of the same facts. And so the challenge folks have now is how do you sift through all the garbage to get to what's real?
I read the Wall Street Journal 6 days a week, you know, as it publishes. I think the news is very balanced. The editorial page is right of center, but they allow a lot of perspectives from left of center writers, which I think is great. There's an open forum there. I just find them to be clear-headed for the most part, and their world news, because we don't really pay much attention to the rest of the world either, their world news is really very, very good.
Mm-hmm. Why don't we pause right here and talk about Mona's Danish Bakery? Was up at Mona's over the weekend, and there was a line Saturday morning, and people have discovered Mona's. Why don't you find out what all the excitement is about? And I think you'll be very pleased. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It is so hard for restaurants, Don, these days to find help. And that's the way it is up at Mona's. If you want, if you're looking for a great opportunity, the help wanted sign is out. People, restaurants are having a lot of trouble finding qualified people that want to work.
Not just restaurants. I was looking into this, and there are a number of industries. Let me give you one at what would seem to be the other end of the spectrum. That's mining. Mining companies and all can't find workers either. So there's a lot going on. A lot of it, I think, is fear of returning out to public, to the workplaces, and they are struggling for all kinds of different reasons, economic and health. But I hope Mona's does find some workers, because that Kringle is just mouthwatering.
Oh, man, there were lots of people enjoying Kringles on Saturday. And then I got a text on Saturday night from a friend who said that his mother-in-law had just turned 100, and they delivered a Kringle to her for her 100th birthday, and she said that was the finest piece of pastry she had. And that's saying something, a century of life. That's a lot of pastry. Anyway, their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Stop by right now. Open for lunch, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. We'll be back with Bruce Ash and Don Jorgensen after this. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowell and Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
Why is mining so important? It's the foundation of everything that defines a society. Everything you see is a product of mining. No matter when, no matter how, no matter why, every society on this planet has developed, grown, and modernized based solely on the minerals it could process. That, my friend, is why mining is so important.
Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, our go-to place for everything beautiful and green on their 13 acres. Bruce Ash is here and Don Jorgensen. Bruce, you said you were, during the break, you were over at Green Things. And as usual, what separates Green Things from the rest of the nurseries in town? First of all, they've got the product and they've got the knowledgeable people that will answer the question.
That really... You know, there are some other nurseries that have decent information to provide. Everybody who works there knows what they're talking about. They're horticulturists, they're agronomists. They know what it is. I bought one of the most beautiful, it was a 5-gallon lantana bush, put it into one of our planters, and it just is gorgeous looking.
Exploded with color.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and Moe's Gallery, of course, is ours. Title sponsor for the face-off, and you got your
I picked up my
beautifully
cow.
Framed as usual, right?
Friend Sally Reichert and her husband take a lot of pictures. They live down in the Elgin Sonoyta area, and there was this great picture that she sent me of a cow drinking water from a cattle tank, you know, from a water tank, on top of the hill with the sky in the back. And I took the picture. And I had this lady, Amanda Cowan, who's a wonderful artist, and she did the watercolor, and Mo and Corinne did the framing, and it is exquisite. Everything they do is exquisite.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Don Jorgensen, it's going to be for Democrats watching what will unfold on Wednesday with the Republicans. It should be very interesting concerning Liz Cheney.
Well... It is. And, you know, let's be clear. No Democrat loves Liz Cheney. I mean, she is one of the most conservative, most regressive of Republicans in Congress.
When they rank, that group that ranks conservatives, isn't she usually get like highest ratings?
She's up there. She voted against Violence Against Women Act. She voted against Paycheck Fairness Act. She votes against background checks. She voted against removing Marjorie Taylor Greene from her committees. I mean, she is ultra-conservative. She made one vote that the other Republicans in Congress are attacking her for, and she voted to impeach the man who cheerleaded the insurrection, Donald Trump. And because of that, you know, the Republican cancel culture is at work trying to cancel one of the most conservative Republicans in the House. So you have to ask, is this even the Republican Party anymore, or is it simply the Trump cult?
What is...
This is what I'll miss about the face-off.
Go ahead.
Soon.
It's the truth. But yeah. Go ahead.
Or your version of it. Look, it is true that Representative Cheney has voted, I think it's a 94% with... Let's say the president when President Trump was in office, or with the Republican minority in the House on various bills, and her ACA rating has consistently been high as well. She voted for the impeachment. She's also voted in those few bills that she didn't. They were key bills that she didn't support the caucus on, and. She is the leader of the House Conference Committee, or the Study Committee, and she represents the entire conference. I know from my own experience at the RNC, when you're in party leadership, you don't really have as much of a mind of your own to do the things that feel good or you are passionate about. You have to work with your colleagues either to convince them, or you need to go along. And she doesn't have the support of the conference right now. And frankly, she doesn't have the support of the voters in Wyoming. I think they voted 73 or 74% in the majority for the president in the 2020 election. And it is going to be difficult for her to survive in 2022. Is that good or is it bad? You know, it is about party discipline, which Democrats are extraordinary at their party discipline, and Republicans, frankly, aren't that good. And I think it's so funny to hear the president defending Liz Cheney and talking about, you know, what the Republicans need to do, or oh, they need to do this or they need to do that. You know, does anybody really think that Joe Biden gives a rip about the Republican Party? You know, he's questioned whether or not they should be on the next election ballot. It is going to be a tough road for Liz. I think she probably will lose her position to Representative Stefanik from New York. Is that good or bad? It just is. It is what it is. And if the conference isn't for her, it's hard to lead. And that's ultimately, I think, what the decision's about.
Well, Bruce has really flipped the script. It's really funny to hear him talking about the Democrats being the disciplined party versus the Republican. Maybe so now when you look at the disaster that's become the Republican Party. But let me expand on what I was saying, because it isn't just Liz Cheney. I think of 17 Republicans in the House and Senate who voted for impeachment, all 17 have been censured or attacked either in their home states or in Congress, like we're seeing here. All 17. You know what happened with Mitt Romney in Utah, the same thing. And we're seeing this around the country. That is,
they boot him.
I guess maybe he escaped that vote, but because the Republican chair came in and
he did. You're right.
Rescued him. But that's what's happening in that party. So it's just amazing, and great to hear that the Democrats have got it together, because you know, this is all about the midterms in 2022, and what we're seeing now is the Republicans for years have gotten rid of the moderate wing of their party. Now they're going after the conservative wing because they're still to the left of the Trumpists. And you're going to see those extremists.
Republican voters.
Well, you can look in this state.
Who are further right of center than where they were before. It's a natural movement of political parties, and political parties are not monoliths that don't change ever. The party has changed the same way that the Democrats were. It wasn't much more than a year ago when President Trump, in his last State of the Union address, said, America will never be a socialist country. And did you notice? Probably 98% of all the Democrats sitting in that room stood and applauded.
And he never said they'd never be a fascist country, and that's what's happening on the right.
Well,
what's happening
sort of
now,
shot.
Yes, political parties move. Democrats have moved more toward the center, and Republicans are moving farther to the right. You know, when your party, the face of your party right now is Marjorie Taylor Greene and people like Matt Gaetz, who hasn't been censured, you have a problem.
No, they're not. That's not the face of the Republican Party, Don.
That's who we see on the news every day.
It's what you
and
choose.
Why are they looking to censure Liz Cheney and not Matt Gaetz?
It's what you choose to make the news. Look, I think it's just as much of a problem for the president to send John Kerry to China on a climate change mission when not challenge the Chinese for the human rights abuses and for their crackdown politically and for free speech purposes all through China and, as well as in other countries, and nobody ever said anything about that.
Well, that's not true, because the Secretary of State Anthony Blinken had already held China accountable for their human rights violations. Right, by Republicans who didn't like that kind of honesty and straight talk against the Chinese. John Kerry's job was to focus on climate change, and he did.
Well, again, that's Don's version of the truth, and he's sticking to it.
All right, Bruce.
Blinken was slapped down in that confrontation with the Chinese ambassador.
Bruce, can you share with our listeners about your new role that you're going to be assuming here in the community?
Thursday night, I become the chairman of the what has been for the last 72 years, the Jewish Federation of Southern Arizona. We've merged the Jewish Community Foundation and the Jewish Federation into a new entity called the Center for Jewish Philanthropy, and I will be serving as chairman for the next 2 years. I'm very excited about this. It's a different sort of a role, and actually, Bill, that's why it would be difficult for me to continue in this role, where you know, by necessity,
yeah.
I'm either trying to defend myself or trying to make a point on
the
other
side. We'll be in good hands, though. Shelley Kice is coming on board.
I think Shelley.
Not that you're replaceable, but we'll be over in your chair. Shelley will be coming in, going against Don on a regular basis. But you have one more session with us
with
2 weeks mm-hmm. from today when I'm up in Alaska, and Dan Scheer will be hosting. So this isn't your swan song yet.
Right.
But we do, I personally wanted to carve out a minute to thank you.
Thank you.
Going all the way back, really to 2007, maybe, on our at Arizona Illustrated on the TV show when we had you on. Sometimes
right.
we would gang up on you, right? Three reporters against Bruce Ann.
So I like this a lot better because I don't have to wear a coat and tie here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay? I was pretty much a stickler about dressing up for my show.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
Were.
No, we
yeah,
all
were.
We all wore
I really
coat and tie.
Was. You, I wanted people looking sharp.
Let me jump in for a moment here, too, because first of all, I want to congratulate Bruce on this new role. I'm really excited. I admire and respect what you're going to be doing.
Thank you.
It's just tremendous. And let folks know, too, you hear us going back and forth here on the air, and we love it and love doing it because it's done with respect.
Yep.
Folks don't know, we know each other off the air.
Sure.
We've worked on some projects together.
Yes.
During the breaks here, we have great discussions.
We do.
And this is how it ought to be.
It is.
With respectful
the way it should
opposition,
be. And
discussion.
When you guys walk out the door here in the studio, you're talking and you're friends. So that's the way it should be.
So I want to thank Bruce for that. Look forward to
all right.
Shelley, although I'll be on the phone, we'll have one more of these to do battle.
Yeah, there
but
you go.
It's done with respect, and I wish you all the best.
All right. Thank you both.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, our proud sponsor of the Monday Political Face-Off. Next to Copenhagen, moesgallery.com. Check out the new website. It's looking real good. We have our Better Business Bureau segment coming up. Pam Krim is in the house. She's next right after this.
Enjoy the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley. Savor the view while sipping on locally brewed craft beer and enjoying gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, at West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley and on the web at noblehops.com.
Have you ever imagined how your life would be without the modern conveniences you rely on every day? Everything you need depends entirely on products produced from mining. Without mining, think Stone Age. Your work commute might be a bit slower, but you could still have social media. Bathing shouldn't be a problem, but it won't be in a tub. So unless you're a caveman, you can see everything that enriches your life depends on the many miracles from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks. A modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. It's time for our monthly interview segment featuring the monthly scam alert presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Pam Krim is with us, CEO of the BBB. Pam, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And you had a nice Mother's Day. And you really had a really big week because this was the big torch, the annual Torch Awards. How did it go this year, Pam?
It was fantastic. We're so fortunate. South 32, once again, was our title sponsor.
And they really stepped up.
They really stepped up in Cox Business and Cox Media and Suncrest Wealth Management, and of course TEP, and several other very familiar companies to all of us here in Tucson. So we were very grateful. And we used the Audiovisual Management Company, which is a global company here in Tucson. And we used their platform, which allowed our guests to come on early and stay late and actually network right there live. So it was very fun. And people did participate in that this year.
Such a tough year. And I know you were trying to focus on the positive aspects of dealing with a business in a pandemic.
Yeah, we felt, you know, last year we wanted to make sure we celebrated because things were kind of dismal.
Yeah,
this year we very much wanted the opportunity to celebrate individual stories and company stories because everybody did different things to make these years, this past year, successful. So the whole theme was sharing your story. And we were very careful in picking our keynote, and Christy Street stepped up from Next Trio and did a wonderful job because we wanted a local business person to be talking with our finalists and with our audience versus at them. And here's someone that had experienced the trials and tribulations and the opportunity to try new things in 2020. And she had a very poignant message. So we were really pleased to have her.
What was Christy's takeaway message, Pam Krim, from the event?
Her takeaway message was, let's remember as we go forward, let's not forget all the things we learned in 2020. So I really like the fact that, yep, there's some increased demand for all of us, and there's a lot more activity going on, and I think it will only increase as the year progresses. But let's don't forget the lessons we learned in 2020. And let's take forward that information and some of the silver linings and maybe some of the mistakes and et cetera. And so it was a very good, as I said, poignant. She even wrote a letter to herself so she could be reminded to not forget the things she learned.
Sounds like a wonderful kind of keynote address. Let's talk about the winners. Let's give them some public credit right here on the program. Tell us about some of the winners this year.
I just want to mention them all, okay, since
all
I have airtime here, because I'm so proud of them.
Go ahead.
We have Mrs. B's Cleaning Service, which is in Cochise County, and we love to get our outlying areas. Air Tropics here in town, Oro Auto, as well as for our nonprofit portion, was the Drawing Studio, and Youth on Their Own.
Did you do a Spark Award this year?
Yes, we did. And our Spark Award celebrates a millennial that has ownership in a business. And David Russell started a business in Bisbee called Bisbee Tour Company. Mm-hmm. And he started this from a shed in a parking lot and a golf cart. And so it's a fantastic story. And our Torch Awards ceremony, which was just 45 minutes to 50 minutes, you can watch. Again, it'll be on our website this week at bbb.org.
The entire ceremony. The entire ceremony will be up.
Yes.
Great.
We recorded it.
That is wonderful news. Switching topics, Mother's Day, the scammers came out of the wall. Well, Mother's Day is behind us. Now they're focusing on Father's Day.
Right. So then you'll still have, you know, we had electronics and jewelry in Mother's Day, and now we'll have electronics on steroids, right?
Yeah.
For Father's
Day,
of course. And, you know, again, I really caution people to take and go to the internet via social media or emails that have been sent. Don't go to those links. Go directly to the vendor and look them up and make sure that you have the HTTPS / with that lock icon. Make sure of that for security reasons, no matter what site you're using.
And how is the, they're taking advantage of the whole vaccination program as well, aren't they?
Well, you know, they place phone calls to you that we need to set up your appointment and that'll be so much money. By the way, do you have a credit card? I mean, they'll ask you for a plethora of information. That's really, that's not how we're doing it. Mm-hmm. We all know that you go to a website, sign up and make the appointment. I mean, hopefully people are learning that.
Yeah, and they're even saying, calling people and saying, we need additional information for people who have been vaccinated for the records, for the federal records. They want your social security number.
Right. And that's just not necessary.
Yes. I mean, it just goes on and on. Let's talk about some of the things that consumers should look out for when they're looking at a website, shopping online, which everybody's doing.
Well, they should look for the icon with the lock on it. And again, always go directly to the site. Always, you know, don't go through Facebook or any other social media connection, because sometimes those sites aren't real. And, you know, anytime you feel like you're being pressured into something and there's a sense of urgency on time, or they bring up that they want to be paid by gift certificates, or they ask a lot of information that no way would that vendor need that information about you. Those are huge red signals for you to not continue the phone call. So don't ever forget that you can hang up or you can delete.
Yeah, I mean, like someone that for flowers being delivered, they wouldn't need your social security.
Right. That's a great example, Bill. Yeah. That's a great example.
I mean, additional information, you know, just, hey, make the delivery.
Right.
I mean, but I know you do get complaints filed with the BBB about florists that actually the flowers never show up.
Right. And it's important. And I can't tell our local listeners how important it is to really research the florists and other companies such as that. Look for accredited businesses with the BBB. Then you know that we've gone through, make sure they're licensed correctly. You can read information about them, etc. So we really, really would love our community to participate in looking at our accredited business at BBB.org.
This travel scam is the hot scam of the hour right now. It is really sick. These people know everybody wants to travel right now, so they're at it.
You and I, Bill, we're talking about where we were going to travel to soon.
Exactly.
And, you know, again, we tell people, go directly to the sites. Mm-hmm. There's people out there that are booking agents, they say. Mm-hmm. And again, they're asking for additional information that they don't need, and they're asking for additional payments. And so I really, if you know a known travel agent in town, that's wonderful. And if you know a known travel website that you've used before, go to that. Or go to the airlines directly for whatever services, or the car rentals. But be very careful of some of these ticket booking companies, and they have customer service numbers where you call, and then you're speaking to them, and you'll notice that there'll be a real sense of urgency.
Oh, yeah. Make the deal right away.
Right,
while
and there'll be
you.
A surcharge.
Oh, my goodness. That leads us to the whole BBB scam tracker. Tell me a little bit about what type of services are available on the scam tracker.
Well, the unique thing about our scam tracker for the United States, Mexico, and Canada is that you actually can go right down to the zip code. So let's say you're worried about someone that's in your family that might live in Missouri. You can go to their zip code and find out what the scams are. And you can look it up by subject. It gives you a lot of information. And lets you know also how much money was lost or what was lost. So you get a lot of detail. The one thing I would really encourage our listeners is that if they are confronted with a scammer, or unfortunately, if they have been liable to a scammer, please go to Scam Tracker. Please report it. It really helps our community and helps others. We know that the best way to fight the scammers is through education. Mm-hmm. And so the more information we can get out there, the better we'll be. And the older population, we've had a lot of success with that. They're actually not the largest ones susceptible to scams. The younger population is now. They have a lot of bias towards trust from their cell phones. Listen to me. I sound old saying telephone. Cell phones. They have so much trust in what's on there.
Some of us still have a landline.
I won't tell on you. Oops,
okay.
We did, huh?
Uh-oh, we just did. I like my landline. I've got a cell phone, yeah, but I still like a landline. Anyway, go ahead, Pam.
But it's real interesting that that the younger folks are now the ones who are really trying to educate, because we know that's the answer.
All right. Pam Krim, always a pleasure. Congratulations on a terrific the Torch Awards going so well. And again, at the website, folks could take a look at it, right?
Yeah, BBB.org.
BBB.org, and Scam Tracker is there, and all sorts of information on that website. Pam, have a great day. See you next
Thanks,
month.
You
Thank
too.
You. All right. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our fine sponsors over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, are so happy that Tucson residents are once again visiting over there, because New Mexico is pretty much clamped down during the COVID days, and the welcome mat is now open. That means you can start your planning and then take the trip. Take the three-hour drive over to Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org and you will find out everything you need to know about your planning. Just had a listener yesterday ask me about Silver City. They wanted to take a nice weekend jaunt over there. And I said, it will be cooler than Tucson. I can guarantee that because of the elevation, probably 10 to 15 degrees cooler. SouthwestNewMexico.org. Let's welcome now to the program and first time back in studio in well over a year, Dr. Mark Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute for nearly 50 years. It will be 50 years next May that Tucson-based nonprofit has been engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Mark, how are you? Good to see you.
It's great to be back, Bill.
You know, I was thinking about how COVID must have affected your organization, and the answer to that probably is not all that much because so much of the work you and your team have been doing was virtual.
Yeah, we had scientists distributed in 30 states, 11 countries, and
yeah.
And now it was impactful for our younger scientists that had kids to take care of, you know, and homeschooling and all that, and some of our people also got sick. Some young people got sick who are still suffering from long hauler syndrome, and so that's been difficult for them. But as an organization, we were well positioned to deal with this, and. NASA continued functioning, and so we were fine.
You know, that long hauler thing is so troubling, and the one encouraging thing I've heard about that is that people who do get the shot, not all of them, but seem to improve after they get the shot.
One of our people who...
Did that happen with somebody that you know?
Yeah, one of our people who's 40-ish, you know, she... was down for a year, you know, with these long, you know, in the hospital for heart and lung and other problems. But since she's gotten the vaccination, Pfizer, I think it was, that a lot of these symptoms have reduced substantially, and she's able to work more now and just feels great. So, yeah, the vaccination's had this wonderful impact for at least some of the long haulers.
Interesting information coming out of the Planetary Science Institute. One of your researchers, is it David Horvath, I believe? This story actually made international news, evidence of recent volcanic activity, and we're talking recent on Mars, shows that eruptions could have taken place within the past 50,000 years. So I guess the term recent is relative.
Well, like Dave says, if you took all of Mars history and pushed it into a day, this is an event that occurred in the last second. And so, a lot of the volcanoes on Mars, and Mars doesn't have the plate tectonics that the Earth does. It gives rise to the mountain chains we see in the West and other parts of the world, the Himalayas and such. And so Mars volcanism seems to be primarily from a plume activity, like the volcanoes in Hawaii, except that they don't have plates moving around, so the plumes stay there, and they've been there for apparently billions of years. So like Olympus Mons and Elysium Mons, you know, they're started out probably, you know, billions of years ago in the spot, but they're still... volcanism that has occurred, lava flows from both places.
Could they still be active?
Well, you know, lava flows have been dated to just a couple of million years ago, but now there's this spot, there's these kind of cracks in the ground near Elysium Mons that
kind of like what they call a fissure, right?
Yeah, like fissures, but they're huge, and they're associated with the rise of this volcanic area, and there's these deposit. There's like this eruptive stones and dust that shot out pyroclastic flow on either side of this one fissure near the Elysium region. And when you look at it with these high resolution instruments that are orbiting Mars now. And date it, you know, it has fewer craters, and it's dated to like about 50,000 years ago or more recent.
Hmm.
So, and the InSight, Mars InSight spacecraft that's been measuring seismic activity has been measuring some Mars quakes that might, in this direction, that might indicate some magma flow going on beneath the surface. So Mars is a remarkably much more active object than we'd given the credit for. It's got a lot more ice under the surface. It may have aqueous, you know,
it's
things going on.
It's certainly not kind of what the image of a dead planet.
I mean,
there's stuff going on.
No, there's there's lots of interesting things, and the fact that there could be modern volcanism today suggests that there might be regions that are warm enough to be habitable and for a very, very long time.
And another study came out almost at the same time as the news from your research here at PSI about Mars, the glacier, Mars glacier could support humans as well. So, I mean...
Yeah, we had another team of scientists that mapped out the underground ice, water ice, down to lower latitudes that had been, you know, seen before, which means they would be easier to access by, you know, human missions.
Mm-hmm.
Tough to get to the poles, easier to get to lower latitudes, and so they've been finding ice down there, and so yeah, that may open up some doors.
And these are big glaciers. We're talking about huge, right?
Unlike on Earth,
where they are shrinking, they've got some big ones.
Yes, definitely there's some large glaciers on Mars. For a lot of where that underwater ice is, it's hard to tell how thick it is. But it seems to be plentiful.
Mark Sykes with us for his monthly visit on the Buckmaster Show. The NASA chief, the new guy, I guess, former U.S. Senator Bill Nelson, is the nominee for the administrator of NASA. So I guess he's not officially the new head, but he's talking about maybe we're going to have to move back the 2024 moon date, saying it's just not realistic.
Well, yeah, but everybody knows that, Bill.
I mean, the
administration over the past several years has not even requested the amount of money that would be needed to build the several different kinds of spacecraft that have to be human rated.
Three or four years away.
It's not going to happen. Yeah. So it's a longer term thing, and what the architecture of the whole plan is, we'll have to see. You know, the previous administrator stated before the House Science Committee that really they weren't planning for anything more than one mission to the surface of the moon.
Hmm.
And then we'll see what happens after that. And of course, you know, everybody would like to say, "Oh, if we go once, then we'll have to keep on going." It's like, well, Apollo kind of proved that wasn't true. You know, we could go several times, and then we could stop for 50 years. So the question is, are we doing this for show, or are we doing this with some long-term purpose in mind?
And Nelson is the guy. I really misspoke there. He was sworn in.
Yes.
He's NASA's 14th administrator, the third to actually fly in space. He was sworn in by Vice President Harris, and Harris will be heading up the National Space Council. So where we go with the whole moon program, who knows at this point?
Yeah, who knows? But you know, Bill Nelson's an old friend of the president. You know, having served together with them in the Senate for many years,
and so
I would expect that there'd be something of an open door there. And so one can keep one's fingers crossed.
All right, Mark Sykes, good to have you back with me in studio, and I urge everybody take a look at the PSA. PSI .edu, a Planetary Science Institute website, and become a member of the fine work that is done right here in Tucson, the home base for really scientists working all over the world, right, Mark? I mean, you're connected with folks pretty much everywhere.
We have about 115 PhDs.
Wow.
So, of whom about 45% are women.
Very good. Very good. And not under one, I was going to say under one roof, but that is not the way it works. And you've been going remotely pretty much since for years now.
Yeah. We got about 75, 80% of our scientists that work out of home offices and other places around the country and the world. And it's worked out real well.
Great to see you. Thanks, Mark.
Good seeing you, Bill.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show Monday edition. Put a lot of content in 1 hour. That is our mission here, our goal on the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Mark Sykes, with me in studio, John Couch on the other side of the glass, engineering and producing, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.